Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms or laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it was cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. I'm amazed at the number of Christians today who are trying to sneak into heaven without ever sharing their faith with someone else or ever taking the time to disciple other believers or ever carrying out their stewardship ministry in the body of Christ. It cannot happen. God saves us for a purpose. And that purpose is not to sit on a pew and listen to a sermon. We are saved to serve. We are saved to be productive for God, to produce fruit while we're here in this life. Remember, God doesn't leave us here to prepare us for heaven. We're just as prepared for heaven 10 seconds after we trust Jesus Christ as Savior as we will ever be. So He doesn't take us to heaven right away. He leaves us here to do ministry, to be productive. And we're going to discover that by this passage here. And I want us to take a moment to open our Bibles to Hebrews and look back briefly in the last part of Hebrews chapter 5, the last few verses there, beginning in about verse 10. We closed here last Sunday morning. The writer of Hebrews mentioned this strange character named Melchizedek. And it's almost as if his hearers said in their mind, Mel who? Who the heck is he? And notice he says here in verse 11, of whom, speaking of Melchizedek, we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing, totally insensitive. Translation, you're out like a light. Verse 12, for though by this time, that is, they've been given sufficient time, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. This is beginning Sunday school stuff, 101. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Literally, a babe in Christ. Look in verse 14. But solid food, strong meat, belongs to those who are of full age or mature. That is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have grown up. They have become mature believers. They have become productive in the body of Christ. And that's why we're here as believers on this planet. That's why God leaves us here, to become productive. And then this chapter 6 is a very difficult passage. Those verses I read this morning, I mean, it's tough to translate that text, especially verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and who have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. There are myriads of believers who read that and say, uh-oh, we can lose our salvation. Hold it. That's not what it's teaching at all. Far from it. It's teaching something entirely different. Now, in order for this passage to jump alive to us and to make sense to us and to be unraveled for us, I need to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to look at that passage today. Now, we're going to exegete, that means we're going to teach that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the principles that we find there. Now, listen carefully. And next Sunday morning, we're going to pull the principles out of 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to plug them in right here at Hebrews 6. And you know what? It's going to make sense. It will jump alive to us, as I say. And you will say, if you follow this all the way through, you will say, I see that. And then when you see that, you're able to teach others. And you're able to say, look, this passage may scare you, but it doesn't mean what you think that it means. Far from it. Now, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, by way of introduction, we did this last week, but I'm going to do it again. 1 Corinthians, the entire book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a divided church. A church that is filled with believers who are out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. They're fussing, they're fighting, and many of them are following human leaders. They're saying, oh, I like this preacher, he's the best. Or I like that preacher, or I like this guy over here. This man taught me. And they were divided. And Paul says to them in this chapter, hold it. Get a hold of yourself. And we pick up this thing and look in verse 1, and I'm going to go quickly through this. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, fleshly people, as to babes in Christ. You see that term? Baby Christians. Look in verse 2. I fed you with milk. Now remember, we saw this same thing over in Hebrews chapter 5. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food, not with strong meat, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. That is, you've been given sufficient teaching, and you've been given sufficient time, but you're still fussing. You're still fighting. You're not being productive. You're still out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. You still have not caught on to why you're on the earth as believers. You're still babes in Christ. Now, there's a time when we've been given teaching and we've exercised, hopefully, our spiritual giftedness in the body of Christ when we grow up and we become productive. Now, look in verse 3. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, notice this, and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, here's the reason. Look in verse 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? Truth of the matter is, God used all of those ministers in a strategic way in our lives. He taught us through all of them. And there is a sense in which we're all ministers. And we teach each other. And we equip each other. And we become, watch this, spiritually mature because we receive the ministry from other people. We're to minister to each other. And that's how we grow up and become mature. We receive the teaching from teachers, and we receive the gift of administration from those who have that gift, and the gift of helps from those who have that gift. We receive all of their ministries, and we grow up and we become productive, mature. So everybody has a purpose. So who's more important, if that's true? We don't have someone that's more important. We're all what? Important. There's no second-class citizens in the body of Christ. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a ministry to perform. In fact, if we do not perform our ministry, we will not produce fruit. We cannot produce fruit. And so what Paul is saying here is your fussing indicates that you haven't grown up. And you're not productive. You need to mature. You need to grow up. And he goes on. Now watch. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. Now look in verse 6. I planted, that is, I gave the seed of the word of God. I gave you the gospel. Apollos watered. He came along and he affirmed that truth. That's what pastors do sometimes. One pastor teaches passages that really you didn't understand, and then all of a sudden another pastor comes along and he brings it to light. Or you hear the gospel from one pastor, but you don't trust Christ as Savior, and then the next guy comes along, he challenges you to believe, and you believe. One planted the seed, the other watered the seed. But where ultimately does ministry come from? Look, here we go. But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Who makes ministry happen? God does. We're just human agents. We're just messenger boys. It's God who makes ministry happen. It's God who brings people to faith in Jesus Christ. It's God who teaches us His Word. He's the one who does ministry. Now, He uses people as His instruments. Now, notice, look in verse 8. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive, here it is, his own reward according to his own labor. Now, we function as the body of Christ. Everybody has a role to play. But every believer, each one of us, is going to give an account before God for that which we have done. That is, we've been given X amount of time on this planet as believers to perform a ministry. As I said at the outset, that ministry is not coming and sitting on a pew and listening to singing and listening to a sermon. That's not what I'm talking about. As I said at the outset, there are so many who are trying to sneak into heaven without ever sharing our faith, without ever telling someone how to have eternal life, without ever discipling a young believer, without ever teaching the Word of God, without ever being involved. We just want to get there and bypass all of this other stuff. But what Paul is saying is, each one of us is going to give an account to God for what we have done, for how we've carried out that stewardship ministry. We've been equipped by God to do it, and we're going to be judged one day. That's what he's saying here. Now watch this. Look in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. He pictures the church as a field, a cultivated field. And I'm about to start cultivating here pretty soon. Papa's got that gleam in his eye about another garden. As it's coming, folks. And I understand what it means to cultivate a field. And many of you are going to be involved in that. You can't wait to get your toes in the dirt. I know how you are. But he pictures the church like that. We're a cultivated field. And he also pictures the church like a building. It's a building. And that cultivated field needs to be cultivated. And that building needs to be built upon. We all have a ministry to do that. We have a ministry to be involved in that work. Look in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Now what Paul is saying is, he went into these little small towns and he led a number of people to Jesus Christ. He began the church. He led them to Christ. He gave them the gospel. But then along came Apollos later on and he taught the Word of God. He began to build on the foundation that the Apostle Paul had laid. Now who's more important, Paul or Apollos? Yeah, they're both important. Gotta have them to make a strong building. That's what Paul is saying here. We're all necessary. He's another, but let each one, here's the key to the text. Listen to this. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now this has everything to do with that Hebrews 6 passage. The one we're going to get to next week. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Let each one take heed about being productive. Now watch this. Here we go. For other foundation can anyone lay which is Christ Jesus. Here's the point. Here. Our whole foundation that we build upon is Jesus Christ. His identity as the God-man and the value of His work on the cross, His death and His resurrection. Though that's the very foundation upon which we build. That's the church. The church happens to be those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. We've understood His identity and the value of His work. That's why Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter. God has opened your eyes to my true identity." And then He said later, "Upon this rock," what rock? The rock of my identity, who I am. Upon this truth, I'm going to build my church. So the church is built upon the identity and work of Jesus Christ. But now, as believers who've come along centuries down the road, we have to build on that foundation. That's what we do, folks, when we lead people to Jesus Christ. We build on the foundation. That's what we do when we minister to other believers. Our giftedness, we build on that foundation. We carry out our ministry. Everybody has a ministry to perform. What motivates us to do it? It's the teaching that one day we're going to be held accountable to God for how we've carried out our ministry. That's the motive. Now, it's not fear. It's not fear. It's not being afraid to be at the judgment seat. Just thank God we're not going to be at the great white throne. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're not going to be there. That's the judgment to fear. But the judgment seat of Christ is coming. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, watch this. Let's peel it off. If anyone builds on this foundation, look at this, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. There's a lot said here that I'm going to go through quickly. But there's just really two different kinds of material being spoken of here. One kind will burn. The other kind will not burn. That's the point that he's making. The gold, silver, precious stones, that won't burn. The wood, hay, and stubble, that's going to burn. Now, why does he bring this up? Now, look, let's read it. Each one's work, now notice this, each believer's work will become clear. That is, it's going to be manifest one day. It's going to be brought into focus one day. For the day will declare it. What day? We know that day to be the judgment seat of Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. He says, why do we judge our brother? We're all quick to do that, aren't we? We're all umpires at heart. We like to call balls and strikes on other people, don't we? I mean, we really do. We judge each other. We say about each other, well, they're not going to amount to anything for Christ. I mean, they never do anything. But he says, why do you judge each other? He says, because we're all going to stand. How many? All individually are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive in our bodies the things which we have done, whether they're profitable to God or not profitable to God. We're all going to be there. Every believer is going to be there. We can't shirk it. We can't miss that judgment. Now notice, let's go on. He says, the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, what kind it is. It's either going to be gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Now, the fire is going to be put to it one day. Now, hang on to that thought just a second. Let me plug something else in here. As a believer in Jesus Christ, if we discover why we're here and not in heaven, and we begin to lead other people to Jesus Christ, we begin to share our faith on occasion, we seize opportunities to tell other people how to have eternal life. And we begin to minister in the body of Christ. We make it a point to be here and to grow up in our knowledge of the Word of God and to serve the Lord here, and to minister to other believers, to help equip them, to challenge them, to live a testimony around them. What that translates into is gold, silver, and precious stone. That's a good reward. But let's just say we spend our whole life as a believer, growing up in the body of Christ, listening to sermons, content to come on Sunday, have our name on the roll, show up occasionally at Christmas and Easter and other times, and we're just sort of passing through. We check it to God. That's what we're doing. We're checking it to God. We're saying, Lord, I appreciate you saving me. Appreciate you giving me life. But I don't intend to do anything for you. I don't intend to be any a part of this. I mean, it's just a bunch of hypocrites here. Join the crowd. Always room for one more. Come on in. I'm teasing, of course. But here's the point. That crowd is in the wood, hay, and stubble, out of fellowship with Jesus Christ perpetually, running from Him, knowing that God is talking to you, knowing God is, you're out there by yourself and God is speaking to you. You're lying in bed at night and God is speaking to you. God is saying, I need you. You need to be serving me. You need to be living for me. And I say, no, I got better things to do. I don't want to spend my life on that when I could be doing this and this and this. Listen, that's wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up. No reward, because you're not building on a foundation. You're missing it. And the Lord's going to put the fire to it one day. But watch this now. Don't be afraid. Watch this. Let's keep going. Of what sort it is, it'd be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what kind it is. Now look in verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it, what? Endures, that is, it goes through the flame. It endures. It comes out the other side, gold, silver, precious stone. It's still there when it's judged. Notice, he will receive a what? A reward. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. We're not talking about eternal life. And we're not talking about sins. Perish the thought. Those sins were placed on Christ. We're already children of God. We're already saved. We've already trusted Christ, and we know we have. This is talking about being productive. This is talking about growing up spiritually and becoming spiritually minded people and serving Him. Now notice, of what sort it is, if anyone's work, he will receive a reward. Now look in verse 15. Here's the key. Here's the key to understanding Hebrews chapter 6. If anyone's work is what? Burned. You see that word burned? I need you to do this for me in your mind, if you could. I need you to pull that word off of that page and hide it up here somewhere in your thoughts. The word burned. What's being burned here? People? Works. The potential productivity is being burned because it's not there. We spend our whole Christian life going through the motion with absolutely no meaning. We've not become productive. We reach to the end of our life and we said, you know, I've been saved for 30 years. I've done absolutely nothing. That's a tragedy, isn't it? I missed it. Whose problem is that? Is that the preacher's problem? Oh, he did it, God. It was him. Or is that the Sunday school teacher's problem? No. See, I can't stand there for you, and you don't stand there for me. We're all there. And our hands are there, and we're saying, Lord. And you're going to hear, you know, you had plenty of time. You had plenty of time. I've been amazed at some of the older saints, I mean, silver-haired saints, who've grown in their relationship to Jesus Christ. Listen, they bathe their mind with the Word of God. They're filled with the Word of God. They know it. And when they go through the trials of life, you know where they go? They go to the Word of God. And they just get in here and they bathe their thinking with it. And they've been walking with the Savior. And they're so impressive to me. They spent time in the book. And listen, they're a blessing to me. And some of them, you know, all they've done, their whole ministry is prayed for the preacher. Think of that. That's not very important, is it? Just praying for the preacher. Praying for the local church. Spending time in prayer for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, that's gold, silver, precious stone. I was sharing this with Michael. I think it was yesterday. We were sitting in a swing at Mother's. We were talking. Some of our greatest conversations happen there, don't they? We're talking about this very subject, though, of being productive for God. What's being said here is one day it's going to make all the difference in the world. Because Judgment Day is coming. Oh, you can escape, you can go through this life and, you know, we'll never know. But one day we're going to know, and you're going to know. And you can't check it to God. It will not work. It's clear. He says, if any man's work, which he has done, is built upon it, endures, he will receive it. Now look in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he's going to what? He's going to go to hell, right? Is that what it says? No, he says he's going to suffer what? loss. No reward. But, I love that little, you see that little but right there? It's those little words sometimes that make the biggest impact in the Bible. You say, how can a little conjunction like but make any impact at all? Look at this one. But he himself will be what? Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Wait a minute. You say, did I miss that? He himself will be what? Saved. Yet so as by fire. He's going to come through the fire smelling like smoke. All the wood, hay, and stubble gone up in smoke. But he's going to what? He's going to have eternal life. He's a child of God. I made this point in the teaching of the Revelation. It needs to be repeated today, and this is it. But the Bible says one day every believer is going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in a literal kingdom. I hope you know that's true. We are. We are heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, and we're going to reign with Him one day. But the extent of that reign is based on how we carried out our stewardship responsibility before God, how we served Him with the time that we had on the planet. If you serve Him now, you're going to reign with Him then over the cities. Well, what if I don't serve Him now? You're going to serve Him then. You might be a street sweeper. You might be a janitor. Now, you'll be a happy street sweeper and a very happy janitor. Extremely happy. But you could have had this, and you settled for this. Now, we've set the stage for Hebrews 6. What's happening there, let me just lay this out here, is these Jews are not moving on. They're not growing up. They need to leave, and they need to grow and become productive, because if they don't, their works are one day going to be burned, as we're going to see when we get there next Sunday morning. Father, would you take the meditation of my heart, and would you take the clarity of your word, and would you burn it into our thinking? And Father, I pray that if there be someone here who has not trusted Jesus Christ, they've never been born again, I pray that you would give them no peace and no rest until they find their peace and rest in Christ. And Father, if there are believers here who are attempting to escape through this life by never sharing their faith or never discipling any other believers or never growing in their understanding of the Word of God, never fulfilling their responsibility in the body of Christ, I pray you'd convict us, Father. Convict us. Motivate us to want to serve you and live for you. I pray that you would etch in our mind the judgment seat of Christ, and that we're going to be there one day. Every believer. And Father, I pray that you would bring us back tonight as we study another judgment. And oh, dear Father, one that we're not going to be a part of. But there are going to be millions upon millions who are going to be a part of it. And we stand in the balance. We stand between them and the great white throne with the gospel. Give us wisdom, Father, to begin to share it. In Jesus' name, amen.